Can belief in God be verified? A billboard evangelism phone dialogue. Did you ever wonder what a phone team member encounters when he answers a phone call from a billboard caller? What kind of questions do people ask? What you are about to hear is an actual call conversation between a CAM phone team member and a billboard caller who dialed the toll-free number posted on every gospel billboard. Minor editing was done to remove all personal caller information and enhance the flow of the conversation for the listener. Keep in mind that this is only one call and not a complete representation of the team member's interaction with callers. You will probably think of other ways the team member could have responded, and in reality, he probably did too. Often after hanging up with a caller, a team member will think of things he wished he would have said. But we thank God and give Him the glory for the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit in giving the right words and scripture verses to our phone team day after day as they minister to many callers. They really need your prayers.
Hello, thank you for calling Gospel Billboards. Ron speaking. How are you doing today?
Doing all right. How are you?
Good, thank you. Did you see one of our billboards?
I did. I was just driving past it. I was curious what it was all about.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you called. We actually have a lot of billboards up in different parts of the country. Can you identify which one you saw?
I'm driving into Buffalo right now, Buffalo, New York.
Okay. And can you recall what was written on the billboard?
I saw the number, and it was, long drive, just kind of thinking why there would be a billboard. Just curious.
Yeah. Okay, well, I can share with you what we're all about here. So our organization is called Christian Aid Ministries, and we do a lot of different types of work. We do a lot of humanitarian aid in poor countries, like food, clothing, medical supplies, trying to help people help themselves. We also do disaster relief work here in America. And our desire with the billboards is to talk to people about our belief in Jesus Christ, how we believe that Jesus is God and He's our Savior and He's our Lord. So we believe that everybody has sinned against God or disobeyed God in some way. And that's serious because it's against God.
Why do you feel that everybody has sinned? Do you know why that is? Are we sinful by nature?
Yes. We have a nature that's bent towards sin, and you can see that even if you look at young children who are innocent, you look at two-year-olds, and if one has a toy and the other one wants it, they'll usually just go over and try to rip it out of the other one's hand. They didn't have to be taught to do that. It's kind of natural. They're not responsible for their actions because they're babies, but there is that sinful nature there. And because of that, we do sin against God. And because of that, we all deserve actually to end up in hell after we die. But the good news is that Jesus Christ came into the world and He died on a cross and rose from the dead so that He could take the consequences of our sin on Himself, so that He could forgive us and cleanse us from sin. So anyone who's willing to turn from their sins and put their faith completely in Jesus to the point that they're willing to obey Him and follow Him, they can be saved from hell. And they can look forward to heaven someday. So that's our basic belief, and that's what we try to share with people. We also pray with people. We can send free, literature written and in the form of CDs. People are interested in that. We have a website. We just try to answer people's questions from Scripture, if we can do that. And that's what we're all about. So we try to minister to the physical needs, as I indicated earlier, and also the spiritual needs of people.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. So do you have any specific religious beliefs? Are you searching? How is it for you?
Yeah, for me, I've always been a skeptic, always. Mm-hmm. I've always been curious as to the motivation behind beliefs and what drives people towards one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just been very curious around, what would make somebody a Christian or anything for that matter. You know, what is the belief structure? What is, you know, how did they come to that thought? Are they using their own free will to come to these beliefs? It's very interesting to me.
Okay. Yeah, it is an interesting subject. You know, a lot of people are brought up in Christian homes, and so some people feel, well, of course, you know, that's what you're going to follow. But from our perspective, unfortunately, not all of our young people end up following the Lord, although most of them do, but a lot of them don't because, you know, eventually everybody has to come to the place where they believe it for themselves, not just because it's the way they were taught as they were growing up.
What do you feel is the biggest transition for people as they come into their own belief structure? You know, what brings them to the Christianity side compared to anything else?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Probably, I'll give you my opinion. I mean, I can't say for sure. Probably a couple of things. One of them would be it has to be real for them. They have to have some kind of experience where they know God is real, where they know Jesus Christ is real. For me, it was way back when I was a young man. I knew I had things in my life that were not right. I would look at it and call it, that's sin, you know, and I couldn't, you know, change myself and all that. And when I came to believe in Jesus Christ, he started to change me from the inside. I didn't have to be like a dog kept on a chain. They could take the chain off and I was free. I wasn't going to go after those. In other words, there was a real change inside of me, and I knew it wasn't me. It was only God that did that. So that's one thing, where people have a real experience of God. Another thing is, unfortunately, what has turned some young people off is seeing hypocrisy, you know, among Christians and in the church. I have to admit, there is some of that, and it's very unfortunate. I always tell them, don't lose out on your relationship with God because, you know, you met some professing Christians who weren't all that they should be. But it's easy to say that, but that has affected a lot of young people, I know, and that's unfortunate. So having a consistent people who do follow the Lord and at least who admit when they're wrong and when they've made mistakes, just fess up and admit it, that goes a long way. Then people can handle it. It's when people are hypocritical and they don't admit their faults and they just keep going on. I think that turns people off. So I think those
Definitely.
Are two things. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just being honest there, I mean, we're not perfect. We're far from it. But at least if we try, I mean, I've noticed it with my own children. If I admit when I make a mistake, when I'm wrong or overreact or something, they can handle that. They can say, okay, Christianity is real. Dad made a mistake, but he admitted it. You know, but I think if I try to just say, no, I'm, you know, then they're going to say that's phony and they don't want any part of it. And rightfully so, you know.
So if you were to say that you made a mistake as a man, it wouldn't be accepted, but making a mistake as a Christian, they accept it, it's a little easier to accept?
Well, even as a man, even if you're not a believer, we should all admit when we're wrong, when we made mistakes. That's the right thing to do.
I'm just curious what the difference is if I make a mistake as a man.
Yeah.
Is it the same as making a mistake as a Christian? You know, is there a different set of, you know, rules? Is there, you know, how does it work? If I can make a mistake and I know it's because I'm human, I'm a man.
Right.
Men make mistakes. You know, if I had Christianity in my life or I did not, what is the difference between the two, right? I'm kind of still in the same
right.
situation, same boat, another case.
Yeah. So for somebody who's a Christian, instead of using the word mistake, I'll use the word sin. Okay, because that puts it in a different category for me. So I have to repent of that. You know, if I'm serious about following Jesus, you know, not just believing, if I believe, I'm going to follow. I mean, you know, otherwise it's just a head belief and it doesn't really have any effect in my real life, in my everyday life. So if I sin against God in some way, I have to repent. I have to say, Lord, I'm sorry. That was wrong what I did, and please help me to avoid that. And, you know, something to that effect. You know, then I can be back in right standing with God. If somebody's not a believer in Jesus, that's a whole other issue because, see, our sins are what going to make us, would make us end up in hell forever. So a person has to come to the place where they recognize, you know, I'm a sinner. Because of that, I've sinned, and I want to turn from that. And I believe that what Jesus did by dying on the cross takes care of my sin if I believe in him to the point that I'm willing to follow him. So in other words...
Does that not take away from, you know, his sacrifice by putting, you know, if I lived in a way that would not honor him, would that take away from his sacrifice?
It doesn't, no, it doesn't take away from it. It just means that we're walking away from it if we don't repent. You know, we're saying, well, I'm not going to repent. I want to live my own way. That means you don't want to believe or follow Jesus anymore. You know, if you take it to that extent, then a person's not a believer, so their sins are on them then.
Right, yeah, it's a curious thought. If somebody does, they recognize, they make a sin, but if Jesus died for our sins, then really we should recognize those before we make them. That's almost how I would feel. We should understand it's a sin before making it, and then either do our best not to make it, or when we do, realize it was in vain and intentional.
Yeah. Well, you know, ignorance of the law, I don't know, it's still sin. You know, we're still all sinners, whether we realize it or not.
Absolutely.
So the thing is now we have to, if we're really sincere in our heart, and we can repent of all the sins that we know of, you know, God will take us at that point and forgive us, and we can be in right standing with God. And then as we go along in life, God will show us other areas of our life where we have sin. Maybe we didn't realize it before. And so then we have a chance to repent of those things.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah, it does. You know, what I've kind of always wondered is, why is it that we're built with capable thought if we're, you know, supposed to follow a structure that has very, very strictly outlined morals, laws, however you want to categorize them, mm-hmm. Why am I able to make such a mistake if, you know, if it's wrong? You know, it seems to be in computer programming, you wouldn't program a computer to be able to make these flaws and then interrupt, right? So
right.
It's the same conceptual thought,
right.
That, you know, humans, clearly far different than a computer. Why am I able to make
right.
these thoughts?
Right.
You know, free will comes into mind there.
Exactly. And that's the difference between us and a computer. A computer will do exactly what it's programmed to do.
Right.
And human beings now, we're not programmed quite like a computer. Like you just mentioned, God does give us a free will because God wants us to freely choose whether we're going to follow him, whether we're going to believe in him and all that. He doesn't want us to be like pre-programmed, like we have to. You know, we have to follow him.
What is the benefit of, if that's kind of where Emily struggled, is if he wants us to follow this pattern, he simply could have made it that way. So by giving us free will, it's almost given some people that they have a bunch of, you know, that they have zero thought of the Lord, ignorance, they weren't brought up that way. You could essentially raise a child without ever knowing that God exists, correct?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
If that is the case, you know, if for a child to be born with no knowledge of God, nor, you know, having any kind of ignorance towards the laws that he had put in place, mm-hmm. if they would be banished to hell if they died of leukemia at 3, is that the child's fault? Why does the child suffer? That's where I always struggle,
mm-hmm.
is
there's
some situations that will always, you know, be what would seem like a rational exemption from God's law,
mm-hmm.
like a child dying very early in life that had no knowledge of these things.
Mm-hmm.
That just seems to be irrational to me.
Right. Well, we believe,
sense?
You know. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a very good point. So Jesus said, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, because of such is the kingdom of heaven. And I take that to mean that, you know, children, innocent children who die end up in heaven. You know, they haven't reached the age, what we call the age of accountability. And it's different for each person because each individual grows and matures at a different rate. But so young children, babies, young children, they're innocent. It's not until they get to the point where they realize and understand that conscience tells them, you know, this is not right. Like, in spite of the fact that we have a sinful nature, we also have a conscience. God made us with a conscience. And most people have in their conscience certain, you just know, like, if you go and do something really bad, you know it's wrong. You know, if you sell drugs to young children to get them hooked on it, or if you go and steal something from a store, people know it's wrong, even though they do it. So there's a conscience that everybody has. And as people grow up, get to be a certain age, and they violate that conscience, then they're responsible. Then they've sinned. They might not know anything about God, but they know it's wrong. You know, nobody goes into a store and shoplifts and just holds it up for everybody to see them walk in. They hide. They try to hide it. Why? They know it's wrong, and if they get caught, they're going to get in trouble. Why are they going to get in trouble? Because it's wrong. You know what I mean? So we all have a conscience, and yeah, it's a definite advantage to grow up knowing something about God, but even without that, you know, we all have a conscience.
Sure.
So, yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I'm trying to decipher the difference between a conscience law. You know, we know as a society when things are and are not as they should be, comparatively to, you know, God's will and what He would want us to do. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that social law and order are very in line with spiritual law and order?
Yeah, so most human beings, we would probably agree on certain things being wrong, like stealing or murder or things like that. There are other things that some human beings, some people would say are okay, but, you know, you read the Bible, you read the New Testament, and you see are wrong. For example, you know, sexual immorality.
Right.
To use an obvious example, very prevalent in our society today, God's design for human sexuality is that it be exercised in a marriage of one man and one woman for life, with a lifetime commitment to each other. So anything else, you know, is outside of that. Now, people today, most people would say, oh, it's okay, you know, to engage in sexual activity with your girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever. Most people, that wouldn't seem to violate their conscience, although sometimes I wonder about that. But it seems like many people would say that's okay. Well, God designed it differently. God designed it to be a special bond in the marriage of a man and a woman. So there's one area there where the conscience of society would be, you know, at variance with what we would see God would want. And so, you know, being informed. So, yeah, and you know, you look at everything in nature, and the incredible complexities in nature, and the more science studies and learns, the more we realize how awesome nature is and all that. You just look at that DNA, the incredible, you know, complexity and information and everything that's in there, and so many other things, and anything else in nature, really. You look at that and you say, this could not be the result of random processes. This was designed, just like this laptop computer on my desk here. This had to be designed by somebody. It couldn't just have come into existence by itself. You know what I mean? It had to be designed. And so we look at everything in nature and say, this had to be designed. There's an intelligent designer, and we believe that's God. And that God always existed. See, all the matter and energy in the universe, where did it come from? It had to have a beginning.
That's the age-old question. And,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's the unanswerable. That's what really keeps us awake at night. If we cannot, you know, we're
right.
As humans, we're driven towards logic. And
right.
I know how to get to point A from point B,
mm-hmm.
but we don't understand the stars above us nor the lava below us. It's very difficult to say how that ever came to be as a
right.
Physical structure. You know, we think of terms in physics, at least myself. I happen to be an engineer by trade.
And
I consider, you know, physical elements, and I can quantify how things came to be. And there's certain things you just can't quantify, such as free will. That's non-quantifiable. That changes greatly person to person. But why? If we were meant to be a structure that always followed the same code, why wouldn't it just be written in our code to do such?
Right. So there you get into the spiritual realm, which can't be, like you just said, and you said it very well, we can't measure that by physical science. There's some things we just can't. So, okay, so all the matter and energy in the universe, we do know that it had to have a beginning. And so there had to be a time when nothing existed. So where did it all come from? There had to be something or someone that always existed. And see, that points to God. Now, we can't prove that physically, but, you know, you just think about it. Where did it come from? Okay, we believe that it's God who always existed, who created it. That's a faith assumption, but it's not blind faith. You know, it is based on some reasoning. You know, where did it all come from?
Yeah, it's kind of one of the questions that will never be able to be answered. I think that's why people struggle so much, is that you can't answer that question.
Not scientifically, no, you can't. That's a faith question.
For me, as far as my profession, that's where I struggle, is I can't quantify that.
Right.
I can't justify that. I can't quantify it. My brain thinks in terms of physics.
Yeah.
And that's how my mind is molded. If I can touch it, I can understand it. If I can quantify how it got to A to B, that makes sense to me.
Yep.
But I have a very logical brain. My brain is based upon math, logic, and physics.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough for a man like myself to understand these concepts because they're intangible.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can understand that. I really can. But we have to get to the point where we say, the physical reality that we live in and that we experience is not the only reality. But we can't know the spiritual reality with the means of physical science. And so how do you know that? How do you grasp that? It's kind of like trying to grasp the wind, you know. You have to experience. You have to have an experience, I believe, of your own with God, an experience of your own of Jesus Christ, where you can't explain it or quantify it or anything like that, but you know it's real. It's like the experience I had when I, you know, came to believe in the Lord, and those changes went on inside of me. Like some of my desires for some things that were wrong just stopped, you know, that's it. You know, and I didn't become perfect or anything, and I'm still not.
Right.
But there were definite, real changes that I could not explain any other way. Can I prove that scientifically? No. There's no way to prove that. But just intuitively, and again, that's subjective, I recognize that. But intuitively, I knew. I said, this is God, because there was nothing else in my life going on that could have done that. And so that becomes a way of breaking into a totally different realm of reality that's not measurable physically or even logically totally. So,
yeah, sure.
I think that's what you and people like you need to have. I mean, I'm very glad there are people with a logical engineering type mind, because my mind isn't quite like that. And I'm very grateful for all the technology that we have, because people like you know how to think and come up with these things and fix these things and all that. But I think we all need that, really, not just people like yourself. We all need to have our own experience of God through Jesus Christ that we can say, okay, now I'm convinced in my heart that this is real. I think that's what you need. That's the only thing that's really going to make sense to you, I think.
Try
to figure it out logically, it's going to be a frustration to you.
No, absolutely. It's a math question that can't be answered.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I never thought of it that way. That's very interesting. So are there math questions sometimes that you just can't, like, figure out. I guess there must be.
Oh, absolutely.
I was never that.
That's where I struggle.
Okay. Yeah, I can understand that. Okay. Yeah. Well, but you're really asking very good perceptive questions. Let me ask you this. Do you happen to have a Bible somewhere among your personal belongings?
No, I do. I did when I was younger. I was raised in a semi-Christian household, not very strictly.
Mm-hmm.
But my mom was a believer. My father was a believer. That's how I was raised. I kind of raised myself in the latter half of my life. But
I see.
Yeah, it's you know, I have coworkers, friends, and that, you know, they devote their lives, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I've always just, my curiosity just always gets aroused by, you know, somebody that believes that strongly without the tangible evidence somebody like myself would require.
Yeah, yeah, I understand why it would pique your curiosity. It would pique mine, too. And, well, let me ask you this then. So would you consider yourself at this point curious or more seeking? Or maybe, I don't know, what would you say?
I would say curious, you know. I guess to me it's always been, it's an anomaly, just because it's, and again, it comes back to, you know, I'm a scientific mind. That's just how I'm wired personally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've had coworkers that are also engineers wired the exact opposite. You know, they make their way through life with those morals intact. That's how they get through their day.
Mm-hmm.
But then they can do work that completely argues with that. So it's tough. I guess the world's a complex place.
We are complex creatures. We human beings are. Well, anyway, with the question about the Bible, what I was going to suggest, I mean, we could send you a Bible for free in the mail, even with some other materials if you're interested in that. Or you can buy one cheaply at Walmart or somewhere. But what I was going to suggest is this. It's a little exercise that we call the Gospel Challenge. And if you were raised in a somewhat Christian home, it'll be familiar to you to do this. The Gospel Challenge is simply take some time every day where you could be alone and quiet, and open to the beginning of the New Testament. Okay, you know the Bible is the Old Testament and then the New Testament.
Right, right.
So,
yep.
Yeah, so you got that. So, yeah, just open to the beginning of the New Testament, book of Matthew. Skip the first 17 verses if you want, because it's mostly a genealogy. It wouldn't, you know, mean much to you at this point. But then just begin to read. Read a page or two at a time. You'll read about all things that be familiar. Jesus' miraculous birth, his amazing teachings, his powerful miracles, his death on the cross, his rising from the dead. And I really think if you would do that, and just take a fresh look at it, and say,
sure.
God, I'm going to read something. People are telling me this is your word. I don't know. I don't have any proof of that. But God, if you're real, then speak to me in a way that would make sense to me, the way my mind works.
Sure.
Because really, you know, God understands, God made us, he created us, and so he knows the way you think, the way I think, the way I'm wired, the way you're wired, the way other people are wired. He understands that. And God has made it possible for everyone that he's created to be able to have access to him, to be able to somehow believe in him, considering the way they're wired. You know what I'm saying?
And I do. I do.
Yeah, so you can say, God, listen, if you're real, well, I don't know, don't say, with all due respect, God, you know, but he understands. You can say, God, if you're real, you know, show me in a way that makes sense to me. You know how I think. You know how I'm wired.
Sure.
Show me. And see what happens, you know. Just give it a fresh look.
Absolutely.
And see what happens. Because eventually, you know, you could talk to other people, listen to what we have to say. And it's good to do that, but at the end of the day, you have to decide, just like each person has to decide what you believe and be able to be comfortable with that, be able to relate to that, and not just say, well, I believe it because that's what I was taught. Well, God doesn't even want that. He wants us to believe because, yeah, because it rings true in our own heart. And that's what we want to see happen to people. That's why we're here. So to help people along those lines. Not to convince you or beat you over the head with the Bible. That doesn't work. That approach doesn't work. And it's not right anyway.
Definitely.
So anyway, that's what we try to do. So I would, you know, give it a try. Would you like us to send you a Bible for free with some of the materials in the mail, or?
No, that's okay. You know what? I can pick one up. You know, I do okay in life. I don't want anything free.
Sure.
I do appreciate the offer. So.
Sure. Yeah, that's
thank
fine.
Thank you for taking the time to talk to me today. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, good. And, you know, you can probably get a Bible app on your phone or mobile device or whatever, too. That people are doing that a lot nowadays, so.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I applaud your effort, and I appreciate the time.
Well, you're very welcome. I'm glad you called. One quick last thing. We do have a website. Can I give you that in case you ever want to check us out there?
Definitely.
It's good. It's gospelbillboards.org.
Okay.
Gospelbillboards.org. There's free things to download. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Check us out sometime, and I can give you a follow-up call or text message if you want in a week or two to see if you want to talk more, or you can get in touch with however you're comfortable with that.
Sure, yeah, I'll definitely reach out. I'm gonna take your advice. I'm going to do a little bit of research, and I'm going to go from there.
Okay, and then you'll call us if you want rather than...
I will.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. Sounds like a plan.
Okay, well, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thanks for the call.
Yes, sir.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Would you like to be involved in the Billboard Evangelism Program? Here are several ways. Please pray for our dedicated phone team who speaks with thousands of spiritually hungry Americans over the phone. Sign up to receive an urgent prayer alert on your phone and a weekly email containing several prayer requests concerning callers' spiritual needs. To listen to recorded prayer requests, call 330-800-9203 anytime. The door of opportunity to present Jesus and His Word on billboards is wide open. CAM has established excellent connections with our nation's largest billboard companies, enabling us to obtain significant discounts. $1 presents a gospel message over 1,000 times. If you wish to impact Americans with a gospel message, your help will be greatly appreciated. The Adopt a Billboard sponsorship program is a personalized way to sponsor a billboard. Call the CAM office and request an Adopt a Billboard sponsorship sheet to choose which billboard you would like to sponsor. If you would like to stay updated on the Billboard Evangelism Program and learn more about the effect these gospel billboards are having on America, sign up to receive Billboard Evangelism's free quarterly newsletter. To sign up for any of the prayer options and quarterly newsletter, or to make a contribution, please call 330-893-2428 or visit our website at ChristianAidMinistries.org.